RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you're a small business owner, you already know what it takes to keep everything moving. You're juggling customers, invoices, and about 100 decisions every day. Thankfully, taxes don't have to be one more thing on that list. With Intuit TurboTax, you can get your business taxes done for you with a full-service expert. TurboTax matches you with your dedicated tax expert who knows your industry, understands your business write-offs, and gives you the personalized advice your business deserves. Upload your documents right in the app, hand everything off, and still feel like you're in the loop the whole way through. You can even get real-time updates on your expert's progress right in the app, which makes it so much easier to stay on track. And you can get unlimited expert help at no extra cost, even on nights and weekends during tax season. Visit TurboTax.com to get matched with an expert today. Only available with TurboTax Full Service Experts.
Hello, and welcome to SEO 101 on WMR.FM. My name is Scott Van Ack. I am the senior SEO at Stepforth Web Marketing. Ross is away today, so you've got me all by myself for a solo show today. This is my second take at this episode because for whatever reason, I did an entire show and it did not record. Oh, how wonderful is that? So maybe this one will be even better. I don't know. Same topics, but my second go through. Not the first time that's happened. Love it when technology fails me, but that's okay. We got a little bit of non-SEO news to get started, and this is with OpenAI moving on paid ads within ChatGPT. We don't talk a lot about paid ads, but this is relevant, I think. OpenAI is preparing to launch ads inside of ChatGPT as early as February. They are asking some advertisers for some big commitments, including a small pool of advertisers where they're asking for about $1 million in spending commitments each over the period of the next several weeks as a trial period. Ads are expected again to start appearing in February, but ChatGPT does not yet have the technology for advertisers to easily buy ads. So everything is kind of done manually. Not sure exactly how that works. Someone over at OpenAI is just manually doing the work, I guess. Pricing details have not been revealed, so we're not really sure what people are going to be paying, at least to start, but it will be based on a pay-per-view impression-based model and not click-based. Glenn Gabe posted to X, pay-per-view? Oh my God, what does that tell you about clicks from ChatGPT? I would expect not a lot of clicks per impressions. Like, it's usually done by per 1,000 impressions or something like that. If the click-through rates are low, as long as the cost, you know, accounts for that and they're not paying a crazy amount per click at the end of the day, maybe it'll work out, maybe it won't. It's really hard to say, but are they not expecting a lot of clicks? So they want to bill by impressions? Kind of sounds like it, but I guess time will tell. Hopefully this becomes a good means of advertising for you people out there listening and for our clients and anyone else out there. It's always good to have a little bit of competition, and maybe this will help get some more traffic. Okay, there's another study that shows that organic search traffic is down 2.5% year over year. So a company called Graphite, using data from SimilarWeb, looked at data from more than 40,000 of the largest US-based websites. The study compared organic traffic from February to December of 2024 against January to November of 2025. They saw that on average, year-over-year traffic was down 2.5%, which is far below the often cited 25 to 60% range that we see in a lot of studies and articles. I do have a bit of concern with their date range, though, because it was February to December compared to January to November. December is one of those months, you know, we've got the seasonal aspects of Christmas and all of that taken into effect, and you aren't comparing to the current December. So I think the data that they're looking at is going to be a little bit off here. I don't know. I guess it depends on the industries that they're looking at, but anyone who's seasonal knows December is either a big month or a quiet month. So we'll see. A Google statement back in August does support this 2.5% reduction, saying Google had said in August that click volume was relatively stable year over year. So it could be true. Of course, results will vary significantly here. Sites that are highly dependent on informational intent queries are the hardest hit with AI overviews. AI overviews is displayed for, I can't remember what the figure was, but it was something like 80% of all informational intent searches. It's displayed much lower for commercial and transactional and so on. And so if you are, if your website is very focused on informational intent based content, you're probably seeing a lot more than 2.5% in reduced click traffic from Google. If your site is more commercial or transactional, you probably haven't been hit quite as badly. So I don't know if this site looked primarily at sites that are not informational, because then that would make a bit more sense to me. But interesting to see a study that shows kind of what Google's been saying and how click-through rates haven't been affected as much as a lot of people say they have. Up next, a study, there was a report by The Guardian that discussed health-related topics and AI overviews. So The Guardian reported recently that Google AI overviews sometimes provide incorrect or dangerous health advice. Some examples include flawed guidance on pancreatic cancer diets, misleading explanations of liver blood test results, and one I saw last year, and we talked about it on a previous episode, where I can't recall the exact search that was made in Google, but it effectively, AI overviews response recommended that putting crushed porcelain in breast milk and feeding it to your baby is a beneficial source of extra calcium. Now, hopefully anyone listening knows that obviously that's ridiculous. It's not only a good source of extra calcium, it's a good way to kill your baby, probably. Like, I don't really know what the effects of eating crushed porcelain would be, but I can promise you it would be not good. Thankfully, I did try to reproduce that search result today, just out of curiosity. I couldn't get AI overviews to talk about it in any way. It never appeared for anything. So either Google has fixed it, because that one story did get a bit of press. It was all over search engine land and the SEO community. A lot of people knew about it. We talked about it. So I don't know if Google manually fixed that one or if the algorithm just naturally has improved. I mean, it has improved with certainty, but has it improved to the point where it's not showing that bad of a result? I don't know. But it is important to also note that with AI overviews, you really, really, I say this all the time, maybe I should stop saying it, but you've got to be careful. Don't take it word for word. If AI overviews recommend something, make sure that it's correct, especially when it comes to health-oriented stuff. It does get stuff wrong. I see AI overviews being displaying incorrect information almost daily. So, you know, it's great when it's correct, but do you know if it's correct or not? I don't know. So be careful. Google did dispute the findings from The Guardian. They did say that most AI overviews are accurate and linked to reputable sources. Again, my experience is maybe not use of the word most, many. I would say many are good, but definitely not most. The Guardian also examined where AI overviews were getting their information from. The study reviewed more than 50,000 health-related searches or citations that you would have seen in AI overviews. 50,000 health-related searches in Germany, and found that 2/3 of the citations used came from sources without strong medical or evidence-based safeguards. They also found that YouTube was the single most cited source, no surprise there, at more than 4%. YouTube was cited more than reputable sources such as hospitals, clinics, health associations, really the authoritative places you'd want to see cited in any kind of health-oriented AI overview. Additionally, they also found that only 36% of the cited sources appeared in the top 10 of regular organic results. I find that kind of surprising, actually, because Google tends to, like, I tend to see the top, you know, 3 to 5 organic appear as citations quite often. But not with this study, not with health-oriented stuff. So there we have that. And let's move on to our next topic. Does LLMS.txt matter? We've talked a lot about this in bits and pieces over the past few episodes. We recently reported that Google had placed LLMS.txt on a few of their websites. John Mueller said that it was not intentional. It was related to CMS updates that were made. John also repeated that the file does not matter. Well, Anna Fernandez and her team from Previsible did a small study. This is really low scale, but it's something, where they analyzed LLMS.txt from 10 websites. Of those websites, they saw that AI traffic increased from 2 of those sites, but that it was not because of the file. They tracked the 10 websites for 90 days, added the text file, tracked for another 90 days. They measured AI crawl frequency from ChatGPT, Claude, Perplexity, and Gemini. With the results, they saw that 2 sites saw an AI traffic increase, one at 12.5%, another at about 25%, but state that the LLMS.txt file was not the cause. 7 of the sites saw no measurable changes, and 1 site declined by 19.7%. For the 2 sites that saw growth, those could both be attributed to other work done by those 2 sites, including new content that was developed, some technical SEO issues that were fixed, and other things. For the site that dropped, they do not believe that was related to usage of LLMS.txt. They didn't really go into why they believe that, but they don't believe it is. So basically at this point, no major LLM providers are officially committed to parsing these files. This kind of goes with everything that we've been saying, with what Google's been saying. They're really kind of a nothing right now, but there may be some outliers that are using them. You know, it's probably similar to when other things are released, like XML sitemaps. Not everybody used them right away. You know, just stuff takes a while to be adapted. So my suggestion is implement them if you've got a moment. It's not critical. I see zero chance that having an LLMS.txt file will hurt you in any way. I also don't think it's going to help in the short term. Long term, big picture, down the road, maybe they start using them and you've already got it in place and you're good to go. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to adapt. You don't have to react to the changes. It's just already there. So low priority item, implement it if you feel the need. I would suggest it, but don't stress it. And now we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about keyword search usage within ChatGPT, the importance of Core Web Vitals within ChatGPT or within AI, and Google Search Console impressions and a couple other things. So stay tuned. All right, welcome back to SEO 101 on WMR.FM. Today, hosted by myself, all alone, Scott Van Ack, Senior SEO at Stepforth Web Marketing. I got a problem here. In my notes, it says CEO. I'm not the CEO. I need to change that. I almost read it 3 times now, I think. Senior SEO at Stepforth Web Marketing. Please remember, we do have a show notes newsletter you can sign up for at SEO101radio.com. Don't miss a single link. Refresh your memory of a past show at any time. In addition, we do invite listeners to connect with Ross on LinkedIn. You can connect with him at linkedin.com/IN/website marketer. Do a search for his name. I'm sure he'll come up there as well. You could probably go to our website, stepforth.com, and you will find links to his social accounts there also. before the break, we were discussing a bit about paid ads on ChatGPT, click-through rate declines, AI overviews, and now we're going to go into 75% of ChatGPT users rely on keywords for local services. So there's a lot. I guess there's a big push where people are saying, SEOs are saying, we need to move away from keyword-based SEO. You know, we're not really focusing on a single keyword for a single page. It's more about topics and that sort of thing. And while that's not totally incorrect, the keyword per se is not dying. This study helps illustrate that. I believe it. I think most people probably still believe people search keyword-based a lot. And this data kind of backs that up. When it comes to using tools like ChatGPT, the assumption is often that keyword style searches are really on the way out. Most people use longer conversational prompts. I tend to be different. I don't like to speak to my phone necessarily. I'm still typing things out like a, I don't know, like an old school type person. I don't know. So keeping it short makes sense. I tend to keep things shorter most of the time. And to test this, Frank Olivo from SagaPixel spearheaded a test where they observed participants using ChatGPT to find local service providers, primarily in the healthcare and aesthetics fields. Here's what they found. They found that 69% of users still searched using keyword-based queries. 25% searched using natural language, and 6% used a, kind of a hybrid of the two. So it really does show that keyword-based searches are alive within your favorite LLM and should not be ignored yet. I always, you know, say, you know, don't forget about these keyword-based searches and including keywords in your content where it makes sense to do so, all that kind of stuff. But conversational prompts are still growing. They're big, they're important, you know, FAQ-based type content where you're posting the question as somebody would ask it and then answering it. All that kind of stuff is really good for the future. It's still very useful now, but it may not be as big as keyword-based still at this point, at least. So keyword is still, or keyword phrases that are simple are still delivering a lot of traffic, so they shouldn't be ignored yet. All right. Here's what 107,000 pages reveal about Core Web Vitals and AI search. So Google uses Core Web Vitals as a partial signal into whether a page provides a strong user experience, and user experience is a big part of Google's algorithm. Since AI also looks for a positive user experience, it does stand to reason that they too should look at performance metrics like Core Web Vitals. A study of 107,352 AI visible web pages by Dan Taylor, head of SEO at Salt Agency in the UK, found the relationship between Core Web Vitals and AI performance to be real, but limited. They found no strong positive correlation. However, they did find a measurable negative correlation in extreme situations. So if you have a website and the performance was really, really bad, really low Core Web Vital scores, that could have a negative impact on your performance in AI. However, most sites now have decent performance. And if you have sort of an average performance compared to someone who has exceptional performance, there's not really any difference there in how your ranking is within AI results. So basically, if your rankings within Core Web Vitals, your speed test scores, that sort of thing, are terrible, improve them. If they're average, you don't really have to worry about it if AI search is the goal of this performance increase. The article over at Search Engine Land, the link is in our show notes, so definitely check it out if you want to learn more. It does go much further in depth and dives into various Core Web Vital data points like cumulative layout shift and largest contentful paint, and has a bunch of fancy charts and graphs that show everything. And if you're interested in knowing a bit more about this, how they made their determinations based on everything, the article goes way further in depth than we are going to cover on SEO 101. All right. And finally, we have a Mueller file, and it's about URLs in search results and the impressions they create within Google Search Console. Mark Williams Cook, the director of SEO at, or the director at the SEO agency Candor, shared on LinkedIn a discussion around understanding how AI overviews affects visibility metrics when a page appears multiple times. John Mueller confirmed that the same URL in both AI overviews and in regular search, and this is at the same time, same search, same screen, Google Search Console will count this as a single impression, not two. And so to extend this a little bit further, the same holds true if you scroll down away from the result and scroll back to the link. If you encounter the link in other multiple elements on the page, perhaps people also ask featured snippet or local result or something like that, your result will still only count as one impression in Search Console. Something I think a lot of us knew or at least suspected, but there you have it directly from Google once, and that's it. Well, that was a bit of a shorter show than normal because I'm on my own today and I tend to talk too fast. Ross slows us down a bit, which is good. He's maybe a little bit better at time management when doing the show, but I'm trying to get better at this. If you have any feedback, what you think I should change, please go to our Facebook group and let me know. I'm open to suggestions. I do listen to reviews and what people have to say. So anyways, on behalf of myself, Scott Van Eck, Senior SEO at Stepforth Web Marketing, thank you for joining me today. Again, remember, we do have that show notes newsletter. You can sign up for it, SEO101radio.com. Don't miss a single link. Refresh your memory of a past show at any time. And if you have any questions you want to share with me, thoughts, comments, please feel free to post them on our Facebook group, easily found by searching SEO 101 Podcast on Facebook. If you enjoy the show, we appreciate any feedback on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast stream. We try to be everywhere, and we do listen to what you have to say. Have a great week. Remember to tune into future episodes, which air every week on WMR.fm. Thank you for listening, everybody.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.